Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And with the season in full swing, the action still unfolding, you need to head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. So many storylines across both pro and college sports. This is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. That's right. You bet they cover with risk-free Sunday betting. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and make sure to use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is ensuring your Sunday bets up to $100. That's right. You bet they cover you up to $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, it is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with Dustin Hawkinsmith. We've got the big Penn State-Ohio State game to talk about, Dusty. First of all, just your general impressions of the game.
I think most people would have expected Penn State to walk out of this thing 0-2. I just think it was the manner in which it happened. 14 quick points. Never really a feeling that Penn State was in this football game. You know, to their credit, they never really went away. But kind of felt like last year where, you know, they mathematically were in it, but never really in it. And I think that was probably, if I'm going to speak on behalf of Penn State fans, probably the more disappointing thing is that performance early in the game and the fact that it wasn't really a contest.
You're right. And the statistics, Dusty, really back you up on this. I just was looking at the first half statistics. The score at halftime was 21-6. And the, rushing yards, 133-46. Passing yards, 147-29. Penn State was 0-5 on third down conversions and also 0-1 on fourth down conversions, which leads me to the first place I want to go, and this is early in the game. Ohio State took the kickoff, went right down the field. The very first play from scrimmage was huge. Penn State is down 7-0 before they even touch the ball, and very quickly at that. Penn State then gets into a situation with a fourth down and two, their own territory, and James Franklin chooses to go for it. I'm usually an advocate for going for it on fourth down. What did you think of that call?
Well, it felt like it just wasn't James Franklin that we've come to know making that decision. And I feel like maybe a little bit of desperation, maybe a little bit of panic, maybe a little bit of a realization that they're overmatched and the start of the game was complete opposite of what they wanted and needed. I also felt like going into this game that ball control was going to be an important part of Penn State's plans. And they were trying to take a swing at controlling the ball as much as anything. But most of the time, you know, you'll see James Franklin really want to flip field position in a game like this. And I felt like I'm with you. I'm for aggression on fourth down, but I just felt like there was so much to lose. You could not afford to be down 10 or 14 points that early in a game where you are overmatched, if you're being honest with yourself. So, to Monday morning quarterback it, I was surprised. I think that might be one that he would want back. But I really felt like they wanted to try to keep Justin Fields off the field. And you saw as the night unfolded that, you know, that instinct was right, but I don't think the decision was.
Well, here was my issue with it, Dustin. And it falls into line with what you're saying, which was control the ball and keep Justin Fields off the field. Not with the fourth down call, but the third down call. If your goal is to keep Justin Fields off the field and it's third down and two, and you already know, or you should know, if you're going for fourth and two, you ought to know that by the time you're running your third down play. Why did they run such a low percentage deep pass on third and two? To me, third and two says, especially if I have two plays to do it, grind it out however way I can, either a short, safe pass, high percentage, or I know they didn't have a lot of success running the ball, but you have two shots at 2 yards if you know you're going for it on fourth down. So with the motivation, like you talked about, controlling the ball, keeping Justin Fields off the field, why are you throwing a low percentage pass on third and two?
I think that is a great question and a great point that the two strategies didn't work hand in hand. A lot of time, you know, if you are in four down territory as a coach, you want to, and it's third and two, you want to get, let's get half that, you know, let's get half that. And then, you know, there's a lot of stuff at our disposal on fourth and one compared to even fourth and two. But I think you're right. You know, I don't know that those strategies went hand in hand. I'm not sure there was a really cohesive strategy to the play calls at that point in time anyway. And then, you know, to jump ahead to fourth and two, I don't really like the play call there either, because, you know, on a screen pass, you've got one option really, you know, and if a defense reads that option and snuffs it out as they did on a screen pass, then Sean Clifford was left with zero. He tried to extend the play and wait for somebody to maybe come back to him. But at that point in time, the whole play is set up to try to get that screen. Ohio State, really nice job to read that. And Sean Clifford was left with no options. So I didn't really, you know, I would think that you would want a primary and a secondary option on a situation like that. And they didn't have it. I think there's a really good gripe with the play calling in general on that first drive, including your point. I'm not sure if that was the primary or if Clifford just liked the one-on-one with Dotson down the sideline, but low percentage sets up a fourth and two and then a screen pass, you know, those two plays right there. And then once Ohio State scores, this game's over, Jim. Sorry, you know, 14-0 that early in the game, I don't think anybody really gave Penn State much of a shot to make this a game.
All right, that's it. It was 14-0 at that point. That wraps up our show. We reviewed the only thing relevant, right?
That's it, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I still have a lot to talk about here, Dusty, so let's get to a few more things. And first of all, let me point out that I'm a huge James Franklin advocate. I'm not sure that there's a better guy to coach this Penn State team. You know, when I go down a line like that, there's going to be a but.
Right.
But these first two games, there have been several things where James Franklin has not wrapped himself in glory with the play calling, time management. There were also the penalties that afflicted the team this week. They weren't as plentiful as they were against Indiana, but they're the type of penalties that you have to look back at the coaching. They had multiple delay of game penalties, and anytime I see that, I lay that on the coach. And there were, again, a couple personal fouls. Those are, you know, you could yell at the specific player, blame the specific player, and yes, blame needs to go there. But doesn't coaching get involved in that too? Look, guys, you just can't do that. You can't hit the guy once he's out of bounds and it's, you know, a couple beats after the end of the play.
Yeah, I think penalties for the most part in this game and in the Indiana game, just uncharacteristic, because Penn State, that's not usually their character. And I think maybe looking at some of these things, first of all, I think anybody, even people who support James Franklin and believe he's exactly the right person for the program, which I personally believe that, I think we all know maybe the biggest weakness in his game is the game day management part of it. And that's what most fans from other programs see and how they judge James Franklin. But we all know that that's, you know, a very small portion of the job of being a head football coach. So you can say that James Franklin's the right guy for the job, and you can also say in the same breath that you wish that he would come a little bit further along when it comes to game day management stuff. And I think in both situations, just a little bit lacking in the first two games. But the penalties, you know, 10 for 100 at Indiana, 5 for 31, just some untimely stuff. They you know, Penn State did thing. They made losing plays in this game. And you needed to you need a little bit of luck to compete with this Ohio State team. You know, they ran 22 fewer plays. They gained 200 fewer yards. Not that that's a death sentence to your chance to win, but you can't do that and not do the little things well and expect to be in contention in a game like this. And it unfolded exactly how you would anticipate it would. Not doing the little things right and not winning at the line of scrimmage, not winning on the stat sheet, didn't really spell a great chance of winning this game.
And just to follow up on the penalties and the mistakes that go on, there was the play where Penn State called a defensive timeout, and this was a second quarter touchdown that Ohio State scored. And you call timeout, then you have a mix-up on your defense after a timeout. And James Franklin, when asked about this after the game, his statement was, and I'm quoting, "Yes, we were in our dollar package, and we had a young man that didn't go on the field, and that's inexcusable. That's all on us as coaches. We haven't had these issues in 6 years, so those are things we got to spend a lot of time talking about on Sunday." Well, you know, that, gee, we need to clean it up after the mistake was made, that doesn't really wash. I mean, you're supposed to clean those up prior to the game, and if you're calling a timeout, you can't have confusion after you're calling a timeout and have all that extra time.
I think just in general, the way that the season was starting and the way the off season went, some programs were going to be a little bit better prepared to be organized and all that for week one. Penn State, I think we all recognized, probably wasn't going to be one of those programs. But even with that expectation in mind, these first couple weeks have been disappointing in that regard. And you just can't have that after a timeout. You can't give away a touchdown and be scrambling around and have a huge chunk of the field unguarded as a result of that coming out of a timeout. That is inexcusable, and it is something that needs to improve. And I do think that communication and stuff will work out a little bit better going forward. All the new assistant coaches, you've got new communicators in key positions when it comes to players as well. You're down Jesse Lucchetto, who's one of those communicators. It's not an excuse, but it ends up being a mess. And you know, you can kind of see why, but James Franklin's right. It's inexcusable, and it's on them.
That is exactly it. We'll pick up this conversation in quarter number two, Dusty. We still have a lot of game to talk about.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiasts, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. The season is in full swing. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to ensure your Sunday bets up to $100. That's right. You bet and they cover up to $100 when you use code KSN during signup. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.